Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
We started a series last week we're calling North Star. And in this series, as I mentioned last week, we are looking at what are the principles that are the North Star principles that will guide us as a church into the future. But not only what guides us as a church, but also what guides us as individuals, because we're looking at God's plan for our lives. Because God has certain things, biblical things, that God clearly lays out in His Word, and God says, these are some things that you do, these are some things, some ways that you follow, some practices that need to be in your life in order for you to become a mature follower of Christ. And last week I mentioned them, and you'll hear me mention these over the next few weeks, but we talked about worship, connect, give, serve, and go. And we said that we already have worship, connect, serve. We've talked about that. We talk about that, and you see that on a lot of our publications. But we have added two more, give and go, because we believe that those two things are important to separate those from some of those others and put those in a category by themselves. And so today, I want us to look at the idea of connection. Last week we looked at the idea of worship. Today we're looking at connect. And connection is one of those things that in modern culture is so hard to achieve. It's hard to achieve. It's very hard to maintain. Now, if we looked at how connected most of us are social media-wise, you find that we are very, very connected. Some of you have a large number of followers. Some of you have a large number of friends online. And sometimes you'll hear someone say, well, I was talking to so-and-so the other day. Oh, you were having a conversation. Well, it was online. And so talking to has become a synonym for having an online conversation. I was talking to somebody. Were you really talking to them? Well, I was texting them. Well, I wasn't really talking. But we understand what they mean. But it's interesting that even though we are one of the most connected generations, we are also a generation that is longing for true connection. Because the Instagram followers and the Facebook friends, when it comes right down to it, many of those people aren't there when you need them. They like a photo, and they may tag you in a post, but when it comes right down to it, there's not a real, true, face-to-face connection. And in the Bible, it's important to understand that we are called to unity. We are called to a face-to-face doing life together. And that's why we want to stress the idea of connecting. And so today, we're going to be in Romans chapter 15. I want us to look at just a few little verses in a passage here. In Romans 15, verse 5, Paul writes, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." Now, it's important to note that these three verses here, they are a prayer. Paul is praying for their unity. Notice how he starts out. May the God of endurance and encouragement. So Paul is actually praying for the church at Rome that they would be unified. And as we look at these verses, we find some things in these verses that we can know about connection and about unity. The first thing is this: unity requires the power of God. True unity requires the power of God. Look at verse 5. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. Sometimes it's translated, may the God of patience and comfort. May the God of endurance and encouragement. grant you to live in harmony with each other. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul writes this, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In Romans, Paul prays that God, the God of patience, and God is a patient God, that the God of patience and the God of encouragement might grant them to live in unity. In Ephesians, he is imploring them to live in unity, and he's saying, with patience, bearing with one another in love, and then eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word endurance, that word patience, it's a word that means constancy. It's a word that the word picture in the New Testament is someone who is devoted to a cause and is unswerved by circumstances or anything that might come along to distract him or her. A person who is constant, a person who is fixed on something, a person who endures. And this brings us back to our point. Unity requires the power of God. Why does Paul pray that the God of patience would grant them what they need in order to live in unity? Why would Paul say in Ephesians, live in unity, be eager to maintain that bond of unity, bear with one another in love? Well, the reason is unity is hard. Unity is, it requires the power of God. Unity can be very, very frustrating. Have you ever, okay, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. How many of you have ever coached a team of middle schoolers or younger in any sport or activity? Anybody? Okay, many of you. Was there any difficulty in that? Like getting them to work as a team? Some of you are saying, well, you didn't ask about high schoolers or adults. Well, same thing, right? It can be very, very difficult. A good friend of mine was working with Upward Soccer when I was in Knoxville. And he said that they were playing soccer, and the little kids, you know, and they're just glad when the kid can actually kick the ball in the correct direction, you know, move it toward their goal. And he said there had come a little rainstorm, and they were out there and they were playing out there on the church lawn. And all these kids are, and the parents are yelling, go, 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 go. And this one kid stops in the middle of the field and looks up and says, hey, rainbow. And his teammates stopped and were like, ooh. And the other teammates were, oh. And left two or three kids actually playing soccer. And the parents are saying, run. And they're like, rainbow, rainbow, rainbow. It was hard to keep these kids focused. It was hard to help them endure. It was hard to get them to focus unswervingly on a area or unfocus or unswervingly upon a direction and move in that direction. They were distracted. With unity, there comes the problems of distractions. There comes the problem of not getting along with each other. Personality conflicts. And so you start getting people together in a group, and you start having differences of opinion. Sometimes you hear the phrase about, you know, if you have three people in a group together, you probably will end up with four opinions. It's true. Some of you are going to get that on the way home. And so it's very difficult to maintain that unity. And that's why Paul says that we have to rely upon the God of patience and the God of encouragement. Because even though we are members of the body of Christ, when God brings us together, there can be conflict. There can be difficulty. And we have to work at it. That's why when we look at those five ideas, worship, connect, give, serve, go, none of them are passive. You can't just sit around and worship. You can't just passively connect. You can't passively give or serve or go or any of those things. It takes effort. In Romans chapter 12, back just a few chapters, verse 18, Paul writes this, if possible, so far as depends on you, live peaceably with all. If possible, So far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Now, we are commanded to live in unity with those who are within the body of Christ, because we are together, united by God's Spirit. Here Paul says with everybody, those within the church, those outside of the church, and sometimes it's not possible to live peaceably, maybe with some of those outside of the church, but we are to try. We are to make an effort to do that. We are to try everything in our power, so far as it depends on you. If there's disunity between you and another person, don't let it be your fault. Maybe somebody else is at fault, but don't let it be your fault. You try everything you can in order to make it right. I love some of the writings of John Ortberg. He wrote one time that conflict is inevitable. Resentment is optional. You're going to have conflict. People are going to rub you the wrong way. You're going to have personality conflicts. Conflict is inevitable. Resentment, that's optional. So we have to rely upon the power of God to maintain unity. Secondly, growing together glorifies God. Not only must we rely on the power of God for unity, when we grow together, it glorifies God. Look at verse 6. That together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some translations, that word together, it's translated like-minded or with one mind. It's the same idea. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. So growing together glorifies God. We give God glory when we grow together. Not only grow together alongside each other as we're growing in the likeness of Christ, but also growing together in unity, in a spirit of cooperation, in a spirit by which we come together in the body of Christ in order to accomplish God's purpose and God's mission for us as a church, but for us also as individuals. Listen to Mark chapter 12, verse 28. It says, one of the scribes came up and hearing them disputing with one another, that is, Jesus was talking to some of the Jewish leaders, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6 here, saying that's the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God. The second is this, verse 31, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. There's no greater commandment than these. Now, it's important to note that in the Jewish mindset, these were regarded as inseparable. Jesus lays them out as two, but in the Jewish mindset, they were two sides of the same coin. If you loved God, you would love others. If you loved others, it would be proof that you loved God. And Jesus says, look in verse 29 again, the most important is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Notice he doesn't start out with, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. He doesn't start there. He starts where Deuteronomy 6 starts, hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. The Lord is unified. He starts out by talking about unity, and because God is unified, we are to be unified. Because God is unified, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, because God is unity, unity wrapped up, God is unity. Because of that, if we are His, we should display that same kind of unity. But as we mentioned earlier, it's hard to come by. Paul, when he uses this word here, together, translated like-minded or one mind, I mentioned earlier, it's interesting because that word comes from two words. It's a word very unique in the New Testament. It's only used maybe a dozen times. But the word for together, that together you may with one voice glorify the Lord, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, or some translations, like-minded or with one mind, that word comes from two words. Two words. It's a compound word. The first part of this word means to rush along, to hurry, to speed up, to move fast. The other part of the word means in unison, together, unified. So the word means to rush along together, to move forward together. That's what it means. That you may rush along together, that you may move forward in unity with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is telling us that we need to do. Some commentators say that the word has musical connotations. That it's a word that almost makes you think of a musical score, where there's this note and there's that note and there's another note, and they are different notes, but they harmonize. That's what God calls us to do. You bring something different to the table. You bring something unique to the table. Each one of us is uniquely gifted by God. No two people have exactly the same giftedness in exactly the same way, at exactly the same level or whatever. But God brings us together so that together we are able to contribute, and each person who is in Christ is contributing a note to this grand score that God is orchestrating. But in doing that, in coming together in unity, God is glorified. Because growing together glorifies God. Together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul in Philippians chapter 2 verse 1 writes the Philippians, and he says, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind." Rush along together in unity. And in doing so, Paul says, they're going to fulfill his joy. That's what he's longing for. That they would be unified. And unity, that growing together, because I mentioned last week, that's one of the things that you're going to hear is our mission statement. Following Jesus, growing together. That's what we're about here. So are you growing together? Are you growing with others? Do you rush to grow with others? Do you rush to unity? Whenever there's disunity between you and another person, do you rush to make that right? Or do you hold out? It's not going to glorify God to hold out. We only glorify God when we grow together. We glorify God when we're seeking unity. It requires the power of God for us to live in unity. It requires the power of God for us to maintain that unity. And no matter what comes, it requires the power of God. But at the same time, it glorifies God when we're growing together. Are you growing with other believers? Are you involved in a group on Sunday morning? That's one of the primary places that we grow together, is in our Sunday school. We have some Bible studies. Are you attending and growing together? Not so you can check it off your list, but are you involved in the lives with other people who are growing in Christ? It's very, very difficult to grow together when you're not together. It's kind of impossible. God wants us to be together and grow together and do life together. Yeah, well, but that's hard. You're right. I've just said it's hard. Yeah, well, I'm with, you know, so-and-so irritates me at times. Yeah, okay, I understand that, you know, probably so. You do too, probably, you know. We all do at some point in time. But God calls us to grow together. Now, I know, let me go ahead and say, because I know some of you are thinking this. Might as well go ahead and verbalize it. Some of you are like, no. Yes. There are people that you get along easier than with others. Let's just admit that. I mean, we don't all get along exactly in the same way with every single person. And you can't be as close to everybody as you are probably a group of people. Now, I'm not talking about cliques, and I'm not talking about, you know, isolating people. That's not what I'm talking about. But I am saying that, you know, I've talked to people before over the years, and I've said, have you tried a group? Well, I tried this group, didn't get along with anybody in it. Okay, well, did you try another one? No, just gave up on it. Had a guy tell me years ago, he said, I tried a small group one time, gave up on it, didn't get along. How many people were in the group? Four other people. So there's four other people. Out of the thousands of people in the church that I was serving at, out of thousands of people, you met with four people and decided that you didn't get along with them, so you're going to give up on groups altogether. Yep. Sure am. I said, you ever have a bad steak? Yeah. You've had a bad steak before? Yeah. Like a really bad steak? Yeah. You still eat steak? Yeah. Why? Well, because there are good steaks out there. Yeah, well, there are good groups out there. So go find a group, okay? Don't let, because he was looking for an excuse. He was looking for justification for not getting plugged in and not getting connected. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know, if you've never tried out a group here at East Haven, let me encourage you. Over the next few weeks, go to one of our Sunday school classes. You know, that means I have to get up early in order to do that. Earlier, yes. But get up and go try a Sunday school class. See about connecting with a group. Because growing together glorifies God. And then lastly, biblical connection reflects Christ's love. When we connect biblically, we are reflecting Christ's love through the difficulties, through personality conflicts, through whatever may happen. Look at verse 7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Some translations say receive each other as Christ has received you. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Biblical connection reflects Christ's love. How did Christ welcome you? Do you remember when you came to Christ? Remember when you came to Christ? How did he welcome you? He welcomed you with grace. He welcomed you with mercy. He welcomed you with love. And so that type of biblical connection reflects the love of Christ. Why? Because we welcome people. Every now and then, you know, I'll talk to somebody online. I'll communicate with somebody online, or I'll communicate with somebody face to face, and I'll hear people say stuff like, "Well, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to attend a church because I want to go to the perfect church." Where is that? And I always use that old line on them when they say that. You know, you can't find a perfect church, and if you did, you couldn't join. You know, can't join. Soon as any of us join that perfect church, it's not perfect anymore. We'll mess it up. So how did Jesus receive us? Did Jesus say, "Get your life straight, get cleaned up, get everything organized, get it exactly as it needs to be, and then come to me and we'll talk"? That's not what he did. He received us with grace. We are to receive each other with grace. What if you only received as much grace as you have given to others? That stings me. What if you only receive from others the amount of grace that you have extended to others? What would your life look like? Would it be a life where you receive a lot of grace? Now, I know there are times where you have to make hard decisions. There's times as a pastor I have to make hard decisions. There are times that you as parents have to make hard decisions. There are times if you're an employer, you have to make hard decisions. I'm not saying that you let people run over you. I'm not saying that you don't address issues. I'm not saying that there aren't consequences for actions. By all means. But where there is a possibility or an avenue for grace, do you show it? Do you show that grace? Do you show God's love in that way? Because Christ's love is reflected in that biblical connection. We receive each other. We welcome each other as Christ has welcomed us. Over in 1 John, John writes this. This is in chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. John writes that God loved us, not that we loved him first. He loved us first. And then he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. It's a big word, big theological word. It means that God's righteous requirements were satisfied. That's what it means. God's wrath was satisfied by the blood of Christ. That Jesus died in our place, and by dying in our place, satisfied the requirements of righteousness that we broke. Jesus in our place. Jesus stepped in where we should have been. Jesus took the penalty that was due us. He is the propitiation. He is the appeasement of God's wrath. And because of this great love, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We should show a sacrificial love for each other. We should welcome each other sacrificially. And in doing so, we're reflecting the love of Christ. So where is it in your life? Where is it in your walk that maybe God is calling you to connect with him in a deeper way? And if you connect with God in a deeper way, you can't help but connect with his people in a deeper way. When you love God more, you find that you are more loving toward his other children as well. You're more loving toward people who aren't his children, realizing that God wants them to come to a saving knowledge of him. I have a friend of mine I got a text from last night. And I asked her, how are things going? She said, well, I had a water pipe burst. This is in the last 10 days. Had a water pipe burst. One of my toes went numb, went to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, it's cutting off circulation. We have to do emergency surgery on that. She also had her vehicle to break down suddenly, spent $1,000 in repairs, and it broke down yet again. And then she's got all these job issues going on and all sorts of other things going on. And she said, and all this has happened like within the last week and a half. Well, that's terrible. And she said, and to add to it, she said, I work with someone who does not know Jesus, and she's watching me. She's watching how I handle this. She's watching my response. And I told her, don't you wish sometimes that people just didn't know? Like they just, so you could just have a total and complete, like, you know, just throw a, you know, as my grandmother used to say, a hissy fit. You know, you could just absolutely just get down and wallow, you know? And she said, but she's watching me. And she knows I'm a Christian, and she's watching me to see how I'm going to handle this situation. It's true. People observe us. People watch how we handle those situations. People watch if we're striving toward unity. People watch if we are living with love for one another. People observe that. And that brings glory to God. And it reflects Christ's love when we have an appropriate connection with each other. By this all will know that you are my disciples, Jesus says, if you have fervent love for one another. That's what he says. That's how people are going to know. They're going to know you by your love. They're going to know you by the way that you connect with each other. They're going to know you by the way that you love each other. They're going to know you by your unity. That's how I'm going to be made known. Why? Because God is a unified God. And God wants unity for his church. He wants unity for his children. And he wants us to live in that unity with each other so that those who are outside of the faith see that unity, they see that witness, they see the way that we respond to situations and to each other, and they say, that's unlike what I know in the world. That has to be something other. Where is it that God's calling you to take the next step in connecting? Will you do that? Whatever that may be. Whether it's going to a group, whether it's connecting more with each other, whether it's getting involved serving somewhere, whatever it is, will you do what God is leading you to do to connect with his children for his glory? Let's pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for today. We give you thanks for your word We give you thanks that you call us to unity, and that's hard. God, sometimes that is so incredibly difficult, and we know that you give us those encouragements. You talk to us in your word about patience and endurance and forbearing with each other. And that's said for a reason. It's because it can be very difficult. And God, often when we want to be unified by ourselves, we don't want to depend on others. We don't want to receive help from each other. We don't want to connect with each other, sometimes because of our own worries or insecurities, sometimes because of others. Maybe it's a personality clash. Maybe it's some perceived or real wrong that was done one to another. Whatever the case, Lord, you, as John Ortberg said, it's resentment is optional. Conflict's going to come. So, Father, if there's anybody here this morning that's in conflict with somebody else, I pray that sun wouldn't go down today without them making that right. Father, if there's an issue with some disunity in families and lives, Father, I pray that you would work that out. If there are people here today who need to take that next step toward connecting, whatever that looks like, Father, I pray that you would give them the boldness to do that. Father, we ask now that in this time as we worship you, pray that you would be glorified. And you'd be glorified in our lives. You'd be glorified in the life of the church. Father, we want to be a unified people for you. We want to be a people who connect with you and connect with each other and grow together as we follow you. So, Father, you do in our lives what you need to do in order for us to be the people that you've called us to be. And, Father, as you call us to obedience, may we be found faithful and may we respond in complete and total obedience and surrender. Father, we ask this for your sake and for your name. And we're thankful that Christ being the propitiation for our sins, the appeasement of your wrath, we're thankful that he gives us an example of how to love one another. So, Father, may we do just that. Love each other as we connect to you and as we glorify your name. And it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. You respond as God leads.